Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz on Kaya 959 with myself, Guguletu Mfupi. As mentioned, it's been a busy time of the year, even though we are getting closer and closer towards the end of 2025. One of the key highlights and key themes that has been top of mind for anyone who's been monitoring the markets and macroeconomic news is the tariffs from the U.S., this trade war that certainly saw itself reach a new inflection point in April this year. But since then, it does seem as though there's some level of calm, but uncertainty remains. AGOA, that's the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, essentially a clear trade relationship and deal that was partnered between the U.S. and key markets on the African continent to ensure that we could trade at more favorable terms and with duty-free access to African exports into the U.S. market. That, we know, has come into significant question. There's been a back and forth in terms of negotiation, and that particular deal officially expired on the 30th of September. Where are we now? Because this essentially ends more than two decades of duty-free access for African products to enter the U.S. market. Donald McKay, CEO of XA Global Trade Advisors, joins us now to tell us more. Donald, always a pleasure to speak to you. We've been keeping you busy, but I think it's not so much us. It's really Donald Trump. All this talk about trade and it doesn't seem to end. Are you not tired yet? I'm feeling fatigued.
this year feels like a decade.
Right? Yeah. They say that there are years where nothing happens and a year where everything happens in terms of the news flow and activity. But let's start there. AGOA trade deal came to expiration on the 30th of September. Typically, we would have updates around these particular deals well before the expiration date. This time around, I'm assuming you're not surprised that there's been a bit of a stalemate.
No, I mean, this is sadly what was anticipated. The impact is not as bad as we sometimes think it is, but it's certainly not a good day. And there's no indication that AGOA will come back. Yes, the White House has said they support the idea of a one-year extension with kind of America first, but there's no indication that that will happen at the moment.
And that's the unfortunate part, because it does then add heightened levels of risk for African economies who need the U.S. as a key trade partner.
Yeah. So the rest of the African beneficiaries are going to feel more pain than South Africa will, particularly countries which benefit from exporting textiles to the U.S., like Lesotho. The impact there would be far greater than for us. But for us, the average duty into the U.S. was 3.5%. So it's not good to lose, but it's not a huge amount either.
Got you. I'm intrigued just to, you know, get further insights here. South Africa's really been at the forefront of trying to manage the trade relationship with the U.S., not only on the back of AGOA, but also when it comes to our own relationship. The other nations, Kenya, Madagascar, Lesotho, Ghana, Angola, just to name a few. Do you have any insight as to what their level of discussion has been with the U.S.?
No, I don't. I do know the Minister of Trade from Lesotho had been flying up and down between Washington, but the detail of where other countries are, no, unfortunately, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Got you. Let's come back to South Africa, because as you say, we have seen not only the Minister of Lesotho moving around, but the DTIC and our very own minister has also been engaged in vast negotiations. Have these proven to be fruitful, or where are we in terms of those engagements?
Well, we don't know. I mean, I do think Minister Tao has probably the toughest job in the country at the moment. We don't really know. We're told that we're kind of nearing a point where we'll have an agreement, but you would recognize from other countries that until President Trump stands up and makes an announcement that he's closed a wonderful deal for America, everything else doesn't really matter. Mm. And it's not clear to me that the U.S. is really that interested in the trade side of all of this. Half of what the U.S. buys from us is minerals, and that's not affected by this. They seem to be looking for other political concessions and social concessions, which I simply don't know that Minister Tao's in a position to give them.
Mm. On the sectors that could be greatest at risk, you mentioned that there are some at least concessions and a separate agreement that's been reached when it comes to commodities. But which additional sectors could South Africa see a significant impact on the back of the lack of clarity on AGOA?
Yeah, so the AGOA is not really where the problem sits. The problem is on the 30% tariff that sits on top of AGOA. So without the AGOA, our duty rate on average will rise to 33.5%. Now, having AGOA or not having AGOA is just going to affect that 3.5%. The problem is we've got to reach a deal on the bigger 30% that has been imposed. Mm-hmm. That is where the big problem resides.
Mm-hmm. And that, as we know, has been kicked down the road even further. And that's also where we see some pressure points. The last time I spoke to you, I believe it was the end of August, when 30% was actually confirmed in South Africa. You have a direct relationship with actually seeing exporters and witnessing experience. So far, have we seen any ripple effects of this particular tariff and the impact it has on South African producers exporting their goods to the US?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have some sectors which are definitely taking a bigger hit than others. And I think that problem will just get worse over time. I mean, the challenge we really have is not so much that we have a 30% duty, it's that most competitive countries have a 15% duty. And so it just becomes attractive to buy from them. So there's an enormous rejigging of global supply chains as we try to find other markets where our competitors were supplying into, and so on. But this is a very difficult, complicated process to enter a new market. So that is going to take a while. In the short term, you know, every country faces some version of this. We are just really fortunate that the US is not that large a trading partner. So if you take away the minerals and precious metals, which are exempted, the US is about 4% of our exports. So it's not nothing, but it's not enormous either.
Even with the grape and citrus growers in the Western Cape, yeah.
Yeah. So in fact, the agricultural sector will take a hit, and it's labor intensive, so that's particularly ugly. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you can't buy nachos in the US, produced in the US, out of season. So you have to import it. I think part of the deal that would be relatively easy to strike would be on those agricultural goods, because there's simply no upside to the US imposing a duty on us. It's not as if Florida can grow oranges in their summertime. Mm. And so I think we could probably reach an agreement there. The sectors that are taking a hit is cars. There's a 25% tariff on cars, up from duty-free. Aluminium, think of South 32, their aluminium is taking a hit of 50% at the moment. Those are the kind of companies that are feeling significant pain.
Got you. And that is a key indicator as well that we've been monitoring. NAMSA also recently had numbers out essentially showing the pressure points that have occurred. Is this likely to continue? And I know it's an unfair question because you can't tell the future. Donald Trump could send a tweet out tonight that could change everything. But What's the short to medium term outlook here and the unforeseen consequences?
Yeah, so I think this continues for as long as it's politically expedient to continue in the US. We haven't yet seen the true effect of these tariffs arrive on the consumer basket in the US yet. And a lot of that is because people pre-ordered in anticipation, so that they bought up a lot of stock. But as that stock begins to run out, companies will not be able to sustain those prices without putting through increases. And I think at that point, it's going to be harder to sustain. Mm. We should also look at what China is doing. China has retaliated. They haven't ordered a single soybean from the U.S., the US was their biggest supplier. Mm. And so that's creating a tremendous amount of political pressure in the kind of heartland of Trump country. And so, you know, that kind of political pressure might get the US to shift. But I don't think this is driven in the US by a genuine concern for American consumers or producers.
Yeah, more like a political battle that we're definitely seeing having a ripple effect globally. You touch on something so important, Mr. McKay, and that U.S. and China relationship. And another common fun feature about you and I is that when we're in coastal cities, we observe the trends of the ports. And I was recently not only both in KZN, but the Western Cape as well, and got to monitor some of those movements there in our local ports. We've also spoken to the South African Freight Association, who've given us some insight into the movement of ports. Outside of what's happening in South Africa and our relationship with the rest of our peers, have you also monitored what's happening between Chinese and U.S. Shipments, and if those goods are being diverted to any other markets?
Yeah, so there will always be some measure of diversion, and the higher the tariff, the greater the incentive to bypass it. So I think that will continue. But what is different here from the first time around is this is not China merely sending their goods into Vietnam and then kind of sending it out of Vietnam. They're actually shifting production into other countries as well. So this is obviously on less sophisticated products, but there are Chinese investors that are physically producing in other areas so that they can supply the US. And I think that trend will continue. That, of course, has consequences for China as well, but that seems to be at least one of the ways that companies are trying to deal with this.
Got you. And for us as South Africa, outside of the US and our usual BRICS trading partners, are there any new markets that have proven to be more dominant for us now as a key export market?
No, that's not really showing up yet. It's probably a little bit too early to really see that. What I could add is, you know, our trade with BRICS is not quite what people think it is. Our trade with BRICS is really trade with India and China. And so if you took all of the other BRICS Plus countries, excluding India and China, we export more to Zimbabwe in a year than we do to all of the others put together.
Sure.
So BRICS is just not an issue in our lives. And China and India trade is not driven by our membership of BRICS. So I would argue BRICS is essentially inconsequential in our lives.
Mr. McKay, this takes us down a whole nother route for a conversation, right? Around the association with BRICS, the currency that they're looking to launch, the bank and many other support systems as well that are affiliated with BRICS. But we'll have that conversation on another day. Donald, it's always a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Good night.
Take care. That's Donald McKay, CEO of XA Global Trade Advisors. Donald does work at the coalface of actually speaking and engaging with many exporters in South Africa, moving their goods and services across to many markets. And we've been speaking to him consistently for the greater part of this year to really get some insights into the impact of the trade tariffs, what they mean for South African exporters and which areas have been significantly affected. As you've heard from him, the U.S., yeah, a big market, but not too much for us to be concerned about. It's really our trade relationship with many of our peers in SADC, in Europe, China and India as well, that remain quite dominant. But even there are certain nuances that actually do apply. But overall, it does seem as though we're holding steady for now. Share your thoughts with us, 063-688-0959. I'm waiting for your voice notes, so do get in touch. Also, feel free to reach out on social media at Kaya On Air. Use the hashtag KayaBiz and feel free to tag me. Stay with us, because in a moment, we talk about creating wealth. We've done this before with ETFSA in making sure that we rally many more South Africans to prioritize wealth creation in a sustainable manner. Tonight, we revisit that conversation with Gareth Stobie. He'll be joining ETFSA on the other side of this.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.